And welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio with your coverage of the IFL and in a lot of indoor football stuff. Not necessarily the IFL, but today we're focusing on the IFL and we're also focusing on a new team and a new coach. But the guy's not a stranger of being a coach in the IFL. I got on the head coach of the new Spokane Shock in the IFL. It's Adam Shackelford. How you doing, Adam?
Things are good today, Sonny. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes and talking with us a little bit about what's going on as far as where you are. You got the opportunity. You're going to be taking over a football team that came from the AFL. Now they're going into the IFL as far as where their future holds for them. And I was sitting there looking when I seen all of the before it was quote-unquote officially announced, I said there couldn't be a better place for Adam Shackelford really to end up, but I know the reason why. But let people know, you're in Spokane now. You're going to be taking over that football team. How'd that come about?
Well, I was a coach here from 2007 to 2009. I had three really wonderful seasons here. I experienced a lot of success because of a lot of help and a lot of people around me and a lot of great players. And then when that time came to an end with the old ownership, I was fortunate enough to be hired by Terry Carr. And hard to believe, but six great seasons down there. But we lived in Spokane the whole time. My family and my wife and two boys, we had built a house in 2009, so we weren't going to move. And Spokane was kind of always home for us. So I would go down and live away from them about 2 hours in Tri-Cities during the season and see them as much as possible. But at the end of the day, the ability to get back with my family, back with a organization that I was very familiar with, and the opportunity to do both of those things in a league that I have come to really enjoy and understand, hoping I can make this a smooth transition for the Spokane Shock, things just fell into place.
Yeah, I will say exactly the smooth transition going from one league to another, getting the franchise accustomed to some of the things that the AFL does not, or the IFL does not do compared to the AFL. And so to me, when I heard about that, the first thing I thought of is, how did it end with your relationship with the Shock? Would they actually bring you back? And that was my big question. So, but it sounded like new ownership came in is pretty much one of the reasons why you kind of left over there, right?
Yeah, I would have never come back with old ownership, and I don't think they would have invited me back. It was, we parted ways in 2009. I don't think that would have been a good move for either side. And there's nobody here, quite frankly, that was here in 2009. It's all new ownership, all new office staff. The only thing we have left is a very large crowd of fans that enjoy indoor football. The arena game so far, we're going to have to teach them this IFL game.
Yeah,
but there's large, loud crowds here. This is a tough place to play.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get them used to not having the nets up. I think that's the big thing, because if you take a look at that field and everything, you got a great field, by the way. It's so cool. But really, the nets really do enhance the look of the game. But now those nets are going to come down, or are they staying up? How is that going to work in reality for the IFL game?
Well, the nets are part of the AFL game. I think, fans just have to get used to our rules, and it's going to be a little different look. I think the important thing is we bring in good players with high character that do the right things in the community. We get off to a good start. Back in the AF2 days, we had 10,500 fans every weekend, and mm-hmm. It was a very loud place, tough place to play. There's no reason why we can't get back to that if we do the right things, compete early. I'm not under the impression that we're just going to be going into the season and just start blowing teams away. That doesn't happen as an expansion team, and I know that doesn't happen in this league, period. very often. So we're going to work to get better. We want to be a better football team at the end of the season than we are at the beginning. And if we can do those things, I think we can have a very successful stint here in the IFL. And I know my owner, Nader Naimi, is very committed to keeping football in Spokane. When this change was made, because it was either IFL or no football, and he wanted to keep the Spokane Shock product here.
How much did they communicate with the Iowa Barnstormers, you know, trying to make that decision, you know, no AFL, you know, did they have their eyes on the Barnstormers all year long to see how the transition would happen before they made the decision to head into the IFL?
Oh, I think it's a good model. Mr. Pettit over there in Iowa, they've got a tremendous tradition. They've been doing it right for a lot of years. I think they have the respect of all the owners in this league, and I think they still have the respect of all the owners in the AFL. So, I don't get involved in the business side here much. I haven't asked a lot of those questions, but I know the fact that they came in, ran the right way, and are happy, and they're telling people they're happy in this league. The business model here is very good. I know that, and I know the business model in the AFL right now, there needs to be something fixed because teams are losing a lot of money. And when that happens, changes have to be made. And we're fortunate here that the change wasn't going away. It was just changing leagues.
Now, you're talking about the AFL compared to the IFL. The AFL, they had those contracts and everything with the players, and, you know, they were making a lot more. Of course, they were, you know, they had to find their own home. I mean, they had to pay rent and everything else, more so than, you know, maybe having housing depending on the team and everything. So, in reality, I don't think we're going to see the same Shock team in reality, I imagine. I mean, it only begs the, you know, question, they're not going to have, or are you looking at some of the players from the Shock and bringing them and hopefully bringing them onto your squad going into 2016?
Well, because of the difference in pay, and you see, you're right, there's some variables there, but there is a difference in pay. We're not aggressively recruiting those guys for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're part of a union, and they're going to go into probably some kind of dispersal draft, and they're going to be fed back through the system back in the AFL, and a lot of those guys are good players. Mm-hmm. Coach Olson did a great job while he was here.
Sure he did.
He's got some good players that will be in the AFL next year. Secondly, we're looking for young talent right now. We're gonna wait till October 1st till we can legally talk to free agents from this league. We believe that this is a player destination. We believe that the Spokane Shock is a brand. It's well known. My owner is committed to having the best amenities inside the rules of the IFL of anyone in the league, and we feel like we're going to run this thing just like they have by treating the players well, bringing as many fans in as we can, and keeping our corporate sponsors happy.
Well, I think you made a very good point there. I was talking to Terry Carr. You said you haven't listened to that interview. But Terry Carr made a very, very big point. You know, in order to run your franchise right, you got to keep these players happy. You got to treat them the way – I mean, granted, $250 doesn't mean anything in the long run, but really to try to help these young men develop into good men, good model men, not just football players, I imagine.
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of our success in Tri-Cities over 6 years had a lot to do with Terry Carr. And she is not just the most respected woman probably in our business. She's one of the most respected people in our business.
Period.
And period. And that, you know, our relationship is very good. When I left, we had a conversation. She went from being my boss to becoming just my very good friend. And there is no issue between Terry and I can assure you that. With that being said, this is a rival. We're two hours up the road.
Right.
Spokane and Tri-Cities, a huge rival in hockey up here, a big rival in minor league baseball, and once again will be a big rival in IFL football, and it's going to be really exciting.
Tri-Cities was good to you. I and you had a good owner without question. I call her one of the best owners in the IFL. This is a person that, you know, went above and beyond what had to be done as far as football is concerned. And, you know, maybe not cutting corners like some teams would end up doing. That relationship, how is that relationship going to, you think, differ going over to the Spokane Shock? Is this the same kind of thinking that they're doing? Will it be better for you over there as far as management and coaching relationships are concerned?
Well, you know, relationships, you just got to trust what you know so far. You know, I've enjoyed getting to know the new people I work with. I met Nodder, my boss. He lives in Seattle. He came over yesterday for the press conference. Met him in person for the first time. Very impressed. But he wants to win, and he wants to win now. And I told him very simple. Those are the kind of people that coaches, if they really love this game, want to work for. We're going to do it by the rules here. You know, just like we did in Tri-Cities, and we're just going to try to build a good foundation. We have a unique experience because we're an expansion team, but we're an expansion team with probably more tradition than any other expansion team in IFL history. So, in my opinion, at the $250 level, at least. So we have a lot of banners in our arena where we've won at this level with the players making this kind of money, and we feel like we have things in place to compete right away. Again, you don't go out and win every game in the IFL right away. I've been doing this too long. There's too many good coaches in this league.
Yep.
And too many good owners. You got to go out and you got to compete early, get better, make changes where you need to, try to keep your quarterback healthy, run the football when you have to, and hopefully be a better team at the end than you are at the beginning, and give yourself a chance to make the playoffs.
You talk about the rivalry, and you guess what? You went ahead and got the rivalry going with the Cities, but you also got it going with the coaching because of the new addition to the Tri-City Fever and their new head coach. Let people know a little bit about him and your guy. I know the answer, so let them know a little bit about you and your relationship with the new head coach over in Tri-Cities.
Oh, Coach Allen and I have a great relationship. He worked for me for 2 years. Then he went on to Wyoming and got in a situation where he was probably working for an organization that wasn't putting him in the best situations. Then he moved on to the AFL. I knew Coach Coquinos with the Voodoo. He was looking for a line coach. I said, hey, you need to look at this guy. He's a tremendous line coach. And Coach Coquinos there in New Orleans ended up hiring Coach L, and now he's back in this league, and he brings an attitude to the game, a toughness to the game. His players will play hard for him. I think it was a good choice from Terry. There's some familiarity there.
Yeah.
She knows Ryan. He's got experience at this level. He's a little bit older guy, so, you know, there's not going to be the youth factor as the head coach. And at the end of the day, he's going to have a tough football team. He's going to have a well-coached offensive line. He's going to protect his quarterback. And he's in a place now where, quite frankly, he's got a nice roster. He's walking into a very good situation. When our staff left, we left the cupboard extremely full.
Well, that's another question, and it's going around. How many players do you think you'll be able to recruit from that team of the Tri-City Fever? Or, you know, what is the loyalty you think of the players to stay in Tri-City? Is it to the city? Is it to the coach? Are you going to try to, you know, dig some of them back and take them with you on over to Spokane? That's one of the biggest questions that we're getting in the rooms out there.
Well, we're going to do it right. We're going to wait till October 1st. There are certainly some guys that I'll talk to, but we're going to play by the rules of the IFL. When October 1st comes, we'll reach out to a few of those guys, not just from Tri-Cities. We'll reach out to guys from other teams as well. And, you know, if we can convince them to be here, that's great. If they decide to stay in Tri-Cities, they're staying with a tremendous owner. A good coach and an organization and fans that will care deeply about them.
when you talk about the rules and you talk about when you're allowed to talk to players and things of that sort, that applies to the IFL. Are there any players that maybe you got your eyes on outside of the IFL that you're capable of speaking to? Is there anybody that you – I mean, granted, I don't think you're going to let me know who they are, but are you looking at some of the other players that are not necessarily in the IFL to bring to you up there in Spokane?
Well, we signed 11 players yesterday, and they'll be on transactions today. So we've been busy. You know, we may be an IFL team of only 24 hours, but we've been working longer than that, I can assure you. So we've been busy. I can tell you it's a different feeling when you call as a Spokane Shock coach because these players know who the Spokane Shock are. They don't know who I am necessarily, but they know who – they've seen it on ESPN2. You know, it's a brand. It's a national recognized team, and that has helped so far in recruiting. We've recruited some very good talent. Now, we better, because there's a lot of good talent out in the IFL, and there will continue
to be. Absolutely.
And no point in this am I saying, hey, we've got the team to beat, because we have a long way to go. We're behind. We're an expansion team. We know it. We know where we're at, but we also know where we need to get to go, or need to go, and our goal is to be the best team at the end, and we're recruiting like crazy to be that. And we know it's a tough hill to climb with some of these tremendous coaches in this league.
Well, Coach, I know you won't say it because you're going to be humble, but if they don't know who Coach Shaq is, I don't think they're paying attention. And I don't know, is that a problem, you know, as far as players in the IFL or maybe in the AFL, they're not paying attention? Because it seems to me, because there are very few respected coaches in any of these leagues, and you're right up there. You're top three, if not number one, as far as recruiting. I remember we were trying to grab up some players. You know, they say, "Hey, Sonny, can you get a hold of them?" Yeah, I know, I'll do them. No, I've already talked to Coach Shaq. I mean, and seriously, and I ran across that so much. I mean, yeah, do you honestly think that they don't know who you are in reality?
Well, I was speaking more towards guys maybe that have no indoor experience. You know, those are the
Got
guys
it.
We're kind
okay.
of targeting right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how long the other coaches in this league have been doing this, but I got into this, you know, indoor arena football in 2002. So, I guess I'm 39 now. I guess I may be one of the old guys in the business. You know, I certainly feel like it sometimes when I'm out there and a lot of these young coaches are running around. But there's a lot of good young coaches, too, and you know, there's going to be some turnover here in the next couple of years. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure, and some new teams coming in. I like that because there's new opportunities for young coaches. We've got some really good assistant coaches in this league that are handcuffed to being assistant coaches because there just aren't a lot of head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
So the expansion of this league, I think, is not only good for the players, good for the fans across the country. It gives these young coaches a chance. That I got here, you know, in 2007 with Spokane. I was a young offensive coordinator in Louisville in the AF2 and got a chance to be the head coach here and ran with it. And I hope the expansion happens for a lot of reasons because it'll save travel costs and a lot of other things for these owners. But it'll also give some of these young assistants opportunities. You know, I've got guys on my staff. I've had Cleveland Pratt and Amir Ismail. They deserve opportunities. You know, they've been coaches in this league for a couple of years. They deserve opportunities to do that kind of stuff. And hopefully this expansion will help.
You talk about getting ready to go for the 2016 season, and you know you're behind the eight ball, you know, and you're a little bit behind as well. That being said, how does chemistry get built that way? I mean, you're basically starting with a whiteboard. You're adding names to the whiteboard. You got to erase some of them, bring them in. What is it about chemistry? How are you going to develop chemistry, especially going from one league to another amongst these players, you know, to get them ready to go for the new rules? And how much are the new rules going to affect that chemistry, I imagine, is my question, I guess.
Well, we're not going to have a lot of arena guys. You know, the rules will be new. They'll either be new for guys, or they'll be the same rules they played last year. Because we'll try to get a couple guys with IFL experience. You know, I think you when it comes to chemistry, the coach can have an idea of what the chemistry is on his team, but he can't really create it. That's created in the locker room. I think the environment that you put these players in helps with the chemistry. We're going to have tremendous housing. We're going to have the best meal deals in the league. All those things are already set up because the AFL required above and beyond, yet still inside the IFL rules, what most teams do. We're going to have our own practice facility indoors, which we have here, the Shock Center. We have all kinds of things set up. So it's going to be a comfortable situation when these players come in. And then you just got to hope you have guys that are leaders in the locker room. You hope some of the IFL guys with experience you've picked want to come in and lead a football team. And then you'd be good examples for these guys. You know, they make them understand that they got to do the right things in the community. And they're here to play football, and you hope they still have a passion and a drive to play at the next level. And if they do all those things and work out hard, their teammates will see that, and that's when a locker room comes together.
You talk about your players. You signed some players. Are there any names on that list that, you know, fans of the IFL would know, or are these just some youngsters that you picked up as you were doing your new recruiting for your new team?
Well, looking at my list here, we signed Harry Peebles, a young man who played for me 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
One of my
good
leading
player.
Receivers. Very good player. He played over in Europe last year. Decided to come back. He wanted to experience Europe. He's back with us. Trey Walker, who was one of the leading tacklers in the league last year at linebacker for Colorado and then Nebraska. We signed him today as well. And then a bunch of young guys. And out of the eight young guys, seven of them were just in NFL camps. So
wow.
We feel like we've got some good talent. And we're going to continue to attract that talent. Now it's their job to get here and form that chemistry, and our job as coaches to win games. You know, you don't just show up with an impressive roster and win football games. There's a lot more that has to go into it. We like to think that we know how to recruit in this league the right way, and we know how to bring in good players. But with as many good coaches and many good players in this league, there has to be a lot more to it than just that.
I've been waiting to ask you this question ever since the new rule came out regarding the vets and as far as the limitations of veterans on the team. So, and because I consider you one of the best coaches, and I'm not just saying that because you're on air. I've talked to you before. We've had you here before.
Sure.
So, that being said, how do you think that this new vet rule, first of all, is going to affect you as a coach, directly affect you, and then amongst the IFL in general? Because when I was been talking to people about it, we're as a fan, because really, believe it or not, the fans actually care about the players as well. Never mind the team. They care about the players as well, at least the ones that I've come across. So how is the vet rule going to affect you, and how is the vet rule going to affect the league as a whole? Because I'm worried about players being, you know, what, popping to one team to enough if they can't make that roster up underneath that vet rule and things like that.
Well, you know, without going through it for a year, I'm not sure I have a clean answer, but I can tell you this. When we finished the season last year in Tri-City, it's probably the last 12 games of the year, eight games of the year, we were under that number anyway. So,
got it.
You know, I haven't always recruited a lot of veterans from other teams. Now, I think we're going to be maybe a little bit heavier than that this year. When we're allowed to October 1st, because we are an expansion team. But I think it's gonna force every coach, including myself, to make sure the rookies are ready. You know, to make sure the back end of your roster, those young guys, you're not gonna be able to rely on 12 or 13 guys that have done it for you for a long time.
Right.
You've got to make sure your young guys are ready. You've got to make sure that, you have a good rookie backup quarterback, because it's going to be really tough to keep two veteran quarterbacks. So, you know, you have an injury. I mean, we went through six quarterbacks last year in Tri-Cities.
Yes, you did.
And I could tell you, you better make sure that you're coaching the backup too, because he's probably going to have to be young, and he's probably going to get a chance to play at some point. So, I think most teams will try to stack their O-line and D-line with veterans. I think that's a good move. And I think you're going to see a lot more younger receiver, DB, skill-type guys out there this year, because I think if you're going to sign some veterans and you're going to do one thing, you're typically going to try to protect your quarterback.
I think it's very interesting because with the new vet rule and everything that's going along, but still, there's got to be a respected trust, I think, as far as teams are concerned, to do the right things. And one of my biggest questions is, first of all, as a fan, and second of all, as a guy who calls games, you know, I don't go into the practices, okay? I let the coach do the coach there. I'll grab coach on the way out, you know, when he's about ready to, you know, when he's got a day away from the team and we can talk. So as far as the trust, as far as the league is concerned, you're only allowed to have a certain amount on your roster, and then you have those practice players. But is it hard as a coach to be able to go, in case someone does go down, to find that guy? I mean, you keep him local. I guess that goes to the show how important it is to have a local feeder, more so than a national feeder, if a player gets hurt.
Well, you know, it just depends on where you're at, quite honestly. I mean, if you're in Allen, Texas, your feeder is 40 minutes down the road. It's called Dallas.
Right.
If you're in Tri-Cities, you may not get a kid until Thursday, and you may have to play on Saturday. That's
right.
What we dealt with. You know, it's just it's tough, you know. We are kind of, and even here in Spokane, you know, we're not close to a lot of things. We're a big city. We're the
right.
biggest city in the IFL, but we're, you know, quite frankly, not near Atlanta, Dallas, Houston. Those are where the players come from.
Absolutely.
Typically. So, you know, it takes sometimes to get a guy out here, and you better coach him up quick, because a lot of times with a short roster, and if with his vet role, he's probably going to be a young guy.
Yep.
It's going to make things interesting this year. And, you know, people ask me all the time, what do I think of the vet role? You know, I think at the end of the day, it's going to happen. As coaches, we're going to deal with it. After the season, we're all probably going to have a pretty strong opinion on it one way or the other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think the IFL should change the league size for expansion, or not expansion, but practice players? You only have officially 24 teams, and that includes three for the practice squad. Should the practice squad have more on it? Would it make it unfair to have more for the players, seeing how they don't get paid that week unless they're playing in the game?
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, every time you add a player to the roster, it's meals, it's housing, it's money. And that's the reality of it. We're doing what we can. We as coaches can work with 25. And I don't think it's to the point where we struggle enough where we need to go to our owners and say it's time to spend some more money, when they're already spending money to house, you know, 25 guys and typically a couple coaches, you know. Usually assistant coaches get housing too, so I don't think it's the point where we need to go out and say, hey, we need to add practice guys. I think they pay us as coaches to go find them if we need them, and that's kind of our job.
With the, you said you started back in 2002, the inception of the internet really has brought coaches and players together, and you're a classic person about that. Why? Because I ran into the fact that they've talked to you already. I think out of, you know, you use the internet and you get a hold of players. You know, describe the difference between 2002 and 2015 with the implosion of the internet and communications being so easy now to get a hold of a player.
Well, it's a lot easier. Now, you still have to recruit the young man once you get his number,
right,
or get a hold of him. Now, that process probably hasn't changed, but, boy, it used to be tracking down an agent if he had one, trying to find his number if he had one, calling the college to see if they have an old number. I mean, it literally would take weeks on some guys. And now it's, you know, typing their name in on social media, sending them an email, finding them on Twitter. You know, I haven't bought into any of those other ones yet. I don't know much about them. Twitter and Facebook, it's not a secret. I do a lot of my recruiting through there.
Absolutely.
People say, man, you're always on Facebook during the day. Do you ever work? Well, that's exactly what we're doing
as
coaches.
Yes, exactly.
If that green light is on, I'm working. So it's about, you know, and then there's going to be 1,200 kids cut from the NFL here next week. You know, or there's already a lot cut, but the end number is going to be around 1,200.
Yep.
All those guys are going to be looking for jobs. So, you know, it kind of starts again, and there's going to be a lot of busy coaches in this league.
We talk about the indoor game and what it is, the IFL. I talked to Terry Carr a little bit, not necessarily wanting to be a feeder league. I mean, obviously these players want to play at least in the Canadian League, if not the NFL. Very valid point made. You know, but really on this league, this is about being able to get the focus on you via film and how important it is. Let people know how important film is to these players. Now, granted, it's important to win a championship. There's no question about that, especially on your level. But really, when it comes down to the brass knucks of this whole, you know, IFL, this is about film for the players that actually are hitting the field, right?
It is, and I don't mind being considered a feeder league. I think if the CFL and NFL is taking notice of our guys, it's a compliment, quite honestly. You know, if we have good enough players for them to consider, then we're recruiting the right players. So, but it's about the film. I tell guys that the money is what it is in this league, you know, and the reality of it is you're not gonna get rich playing the IFL. We're gonna feed you, we're gonna house you, we're gonna do everything we can inside the rules to take care of you. The money is good, but the gold in this whole thing is the film. If you walk out of here without the film, then you've really wasted 5 months. It's really more important. Obviously, the money pays the bills, but the gold of the whole thing is getting that film in your hand to be able to send out, to email, and get it out quick. A heck of a lot quicker than we used to be able to get it out.
Oh, yeah.
Now with YouTube and everything else. And that's the other thing that's changed a lot in recruiting is, now waiting 2 weeks to get film, now you just type their name into YouTube and they've all got film. So it's really sped up recruiting. But that film is priceless, you know, because a guy who plays college football in 2013, he can't send his film out to the NFL anymore. It will never get opened. 2013 film won't even make it off the desk because it's not recent. And there's no more what have you done for me lately in business and America, in my opinion, than the NFL. You have to be good now, and you have to have film ready for them that's recent and good.
All right, so it's amazing what technology has done for the game. And that's forget the fact that we get, you know, high-definition, you know, television for NFL football games. And so that's another thing as far as the IFL and what they're doing. Granted, we love America One because I can see – I'll tell you, for the last 3 years, I have not missed an IFL football game. That's just the way it works. It's a good thing for me. As far as watching and recruiting and getting that part set, but, I mean, seeing film of the other team, you don't necessarily use America One. You have a different kind of, you know, getting the actual, you know plays that the other team has played on a different system. Let people know a little bit about that and how that has changed as far as, you know, getting set for a football game.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have a good relationship with a company called VidSwap.com. And it was started by a former Spokane Shock quarterback, actually, who thought of a better way for coaches to trade film and players to make film. And basically it's a website. We upload everything to that website. And we're able to email it, watch it on our smartphones. Or, you know, I just watched a little bit from my iPad and use my Chromecast to take it to my TV here in my office and watch film. It's really been pretty amazing, the strides that film has taken. I remember being a young college coach using a VCR to tape stuff.
Yep.
and now I think if any of us coaches got a VCR tape in the mail, we wouldn't know what to do with it. So... So, you know, the reality of it is it's come a long way. And it's forced us older guys, I guess I'm an older guy now, to become up to and current with what's going on.
Right.
You have to be able to know how to use Facebook and social media and Twitter. And sometimes when I don't know, I'll tell you the perfect guys to ask are our players because they know all that stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, projectors now instead of TVs and VCRs. It's all changed, but it's for the better. I'll tell you, it's sped up the process. It's shortened the nights in the office, and it gets us married guys, you know, back to our families quicker at night. It's really
exactly.
been a blessing.
Yeah. You can and do it at home, too, so at least you're around.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's a huge thing, too. I mean, you lived in Spokane. This is where you live. You've missed a lot of your kids growing up, you know, working with the Tri-City Fever. Not that you look at that negatively, but when you look at the other side of the thing, you're coaching the football, but you're missing your kids growing up.
That was a big part of the decision. You know, I missed half their life. You know, now you say that I saw them still at least once a week, you know, but I missed a lot of soccer games and t-ball games and things. I also made a lot too. I mean, I made that drive a lot.
Yeah.
And my wife sacrificed and made that drive a lot as well. And we'd meet in the middle in a little town called Ritzville when we could. So it wasn't like I never, you know, there's a lot of coaches that go farther away than I do.
Yeah.
And there's sure as heck a lot of men and women overseas protecting our freedoms who get to see their families a heck of a lot less.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining when I say this stuff. But it is nice to be back home. It is nice to be able to, you know, make my kids lunch and take them to school in the morning year-round. That won't stop once the season starts. They're going to be here. They're going to be able to get to know the players a little bit more. And, you know, we try to create a family atmosphere, just like Terry Carr did, and we believe down in Tri-Cities, and we're going to do that here.
I bet it's a lot easier. I mean, you obviously can recruit from anywhere. Telephone and internet, you can pretty much set up. But when you have a home base, that's probably something that makes your job a lot easier as well, right?
I think so. Yeah. So far, it's been very comfortable. You know, and we've got a hardworking staff here. They're making the transition to the IFL very quickly. They're learning quickly. They're experienced already in this indoor style game. We have lots of season ticket holders already.
Yeah.
A lot of them are asking questions about this league, but they're still buying their tickets. They're excited. And it's going to be a very full house whenever we start our season.
Well, I've seen you on the Shock television as well. I've seen you a couple times. You're going in for interviews and stuff when you happen to be around town. You know, that's huge too. That's a town that knows you. It works out pretty good. A couple more questions. I'll let you go, Coach, because some people don't know the roles of a coach besides you're coaching football. You're coaching your football team. But do you have any further roles outside of just coaching football? Are you guys involved with anything with the league offices or how things run? I mean, I know you guys have coaches meetings and stuff. What goes on there, and how does, you know, issues get tackled coming from the coaches?
We do have coaches' meetings. My roles, I don't have any roles outside of the Spokane Shock. You know, I'm the director of player personnel and the head coach, and I guess the offensive coordinator, if you want to give me another title. But the owners all have committees and what they do. You know, as coaches, we just meet in a room as head coaches with the director of officials and the commissioner, and we go through the rule book. We talk about things that happen in the season, and we just try to make this game. We're not trying to change the game. We're trying to make it smoother. And
right.
You know, if there's some rules that, you know, there's a lot of gray area, rules that we just don't need that can maybe eliminate a flag and a slowdown and production, then, you know, we talk about those things. And I can tell you, the owners and the coaches in this league get along very well. Now, is everybody, you know, buddy-buddy? No, but we are able to get in a room, and we are able to figure things out and come to an agreement, and that's a sign of a very strong league. And you see our owners, you know, out to dinner together. They get along very well at some of these meetings, and the coaches. You know, we have these meetings, and it's a different feel than it was, especially when I first got in this league, where it was a bunch of individuals trying to fight for their own team. Now, I think everybody has the vision of what's best for this league, and I think there's kind of a light in the tunnel that, you know, we could be, when the dust settles, the highest league in indoor football if we just keep doing the right things.
How much does player input go into what goes on in the league? Now, granted, we know you feed them. We know you house them. But, I mean, is there any portion of the players that they get a part of the league as well? Are their voices heard? I mean, or are their voices heard via their coach or owners? Or, you know, do they have any direct connect with things like that?
Well, I can only tell you what happens here is, you know, I have an open door policy. If a player needs to talk to me, has an issue with what we're doing, has a league-wide issue, they know they can just come to me and talk about it. They're at least going to be heard by me. You know, we'll go above my head and above my pay grade. I can't promise them that. But I will try, you know, because we want to make this situation and make our experience here with these players the best possible. The least, you know, the less worries a player has, the faster he plays. The less he has to think about off the field, the better he's going to play on the field. You know, you ask a guy to leave the off the field stuff off the field, but, you know, we understand that you know, issues are going to creep back in, and we just want the guy to have a good experience here, which is why we try to make it as comfortable as possible for him while they're here.
Got four games probably. Imagine, you know, how it works out with as far as travel is concerned. Two games probably in Tri-Cities, two games with Tri-Cities heading to Spokane. Any other, you know, local area that you think that you could, you know, put together another rivalry besides Tri-Cities?
Well, I don't know if anything will top that. I'll tell you that I was very impressed with Billings last year. The improvement from the beginning of the season and the hard work that Coach Dixon put in. And it didn't shock me because he's a very good football mind. But I think the improvement we saw there, you know, they're our next closest team.
Right.
We're probably going to play them at least three times, I would assume.
Yeah.
I think they'll have a very good squad. You know, I think that's another team that could become a rival. Also because, you know, we all share the same TV production. The people that own the rights up here also own, you know, Tri-Cities and Billings. So our games are possibly going to be on TV against each other here, all the way from here to Billings and Tri-Cities, and I think it could be a nice little three-way rivalry.
By the way, how's Houston doing? Houston Lillard, I know he got hurt, and what was the extent of his injury, and how do you think he's doing right now? You probably haven't had a lot of contact with him as of late, I imagine.
I haven't, not in the last couple of weeks. I spoke with him, last time I talked to him was probably 3 weeks ago, and he's working hard. He's determined to get healthy. Now, whether he ever plays again, you know, that'd be a Houston Lillard question. I don't know about that. But I'll tell you this, he's going to work hard enough to be available to if he wants to. A very determined young man. I give the rest of my team a lot of credit. When he went down, we could have just folded up shop and probably a lot of people would have not blamed us, you know.
Right.
But we kept fighting and fighting.
Yeah,
you know, five quarterbacks later, we found a way to make the playoffs and unfortunately couldn't keep up with an outstanding Nebraska team.
Yeah.
And Jameel Sewell played lights out that game. Couldn't miss. He played outstanding. And unfortunately, we weren't able to move on to compete in the championship. But Houston, high-character guy. You know, he's into some other things, business things. You know, he's going to be okay. He's a smart young man. But I would love to see him play another year, even if I'm – even if it's against me, I'd love to see him get back out there and finish what he started.
Yeah, I bet he's looking there. You had some great success, Jake Colleen making the step up and some of your other players making the step up into Canada. Nothing but the best for you. And I said the Tri-Cities Fever was the best run organization, and I meant it. It wasn't kissing up. I've made that out there, and I do. I believe you're one of the best coaches in the IFL. Nothing but good luck to you as you take on this new endeavor up there in Spokane and go out there and knock them dead, Coach.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Thanks for your time.
You betcha. And folks, he is the head coach of the Spokane Shockets, Adam Shackelford. And folks, hang around here in the next week or so. We'll be bringing you more here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And more coaches and players, we'll be bringing those folks in here really soon. Everybody have a good one. We're out here. Bye-bye.